Good morning. I've entitled this message, The Romance of Life. And when I'm speaking about romance, I'm not talking about male and female at this particular time. I think we're all familiar with that. I'm talking about something that transcends that and encompasses it, but is somewhat different from a relationship. I'm talking about the moments that take our breath away. I've heard it said that life is not measured by the breaths we take, but measured by the number of breaths that are taken away from us by excitement, by our enjoyment, by our awe of the present moment. And I think sometimes life can be so daily, and it could be such a usual thing that we forget the miracles that happen all around us. You know, enthusiasm literally means God within. It comes from the Latin word entheos, which is God within. And when we are enthusiastic, we are honoring the life force that is in us. And that's why when I hear people say, well, I see people that aren't particularly churchly or spiritual, and they're doing all right, and I've got my issues. Well, the deal is, everybody comes equipped with the power of God inside them, whether they recognize it or not. It is a force that can be used by anybody. The difference with us is that we come together to honor it. We know that together we make a larger difference. We create a better world. But we do that by recreating ourselves, by being enthusiastic inside ourselves, by the world we create between our ears. That's where life happens, and that's why it's so important for us to keep, as it said, prayed up, forgiven up, all the things that we know that we need to release that keep us from our highest good, that keep us from the enthusiasm and the wonder and the joy that is ours by birthright of being children of the Most High. And I like to think about the romance of life in this way. Every one of us has memories. And what we attach to those memories, the significance we attach to those memories, are what keep them inside our minds. Some are more to the forefront, and some are more in the background, but we all have them. And one of the most wonderful things that I learned to do when I was feeling sort of less than, or kind of blue, or having a gray day, is to bring up those moments that took my breath away, those moments that meant something to me, those moments of sheer wonder and joy and awe at being alive. And I know that each one of you have those same types of moments to bring up in your mind. In psychological circles, they refer to these as engrams. They are through neural pathways that we attach significant emotions to, and therefore they become a part of our spiritual DNA. And as we go forth through this life and have more experiences that may be similar, we attach even more emotion to what we originally felt. That's part of what you think about expands. What you love expands. If you've noticed, when you feel negative or when you feel emotions that make you vibrate at a lower place, you feel slower, you feel a little more contracted. You don't feel as good as when you are thinking about the wonderful things. The reason for that is the energy that's going through you is slowed by your own thought process. And sometimes, unfortunately, people will stay in a place where that energy moves slowly and then create a situation for themselves that needs forgiveness for somebody else, for themselves. They might get a particular illness and say, I don't know where this came from, but we find out that a lot of times, though not always, lack of forgiveness, condemnation, judgment of self and others are part of it. That's why I say it's so important to keep, quote, prayed up for those times that you know will be coming that may not be the best, but you have a spiritual shock absorber through your spiritual practices, whether it be contemplation, affirmation, visualization, whatever it may be, you have that inside you already to fall back on. And I can't emphasize the importance of this enough, of a mental room, a spiritual room, whatever you want to call it, the place that you have in your mind that you decorate with the very finest things that you can think of, imagine, visualize, or that have ever happened to you. That's the purpose of that special place, is for you to go and be recreated and renewed. It's a place where you can plug into enthusiasm because God is in you every moment, even when you don't feel like it. It's when you recognize that presence that you feel joy. When you recognize that presence, it's easier to forgive. Life works when we're being positive. It doesn't work when we go at it negatively. For example, Mother Teresa was asked if she would march against the Vietnamese War. She said no. She said, however, when you give a march for peace, count me in. The difference is, what you're against disempowers you. What you're for empowers you. Because when we are against and we are judging and we are pointing fingers at ourselves or others, we're in a place usually of fear, and one that sort of cripples our ability to walk forward. So, as Christ Jesus said, be forgiving. Live in a state of forgiveness. That's what he taught. That's what great spiritual teachers of all stripes do. They call on us. They ask us for the highest and best in us. Forgive, love, move forward. First, forgive yourself, and then you're able to forgive others. I've never seen it really work the other way around. It seems like we have to, life being a do-it-yourself job, we have to work with us here first. And it's so easy to say, it's all out there. Well, you see, it's all out there to a lot of people. And some are going to be more upset than others about it because each person experiences life in here, individually. That's why the individual is so strong. That's why I talk about individualism and the ability to change one mindset. Because when you do that, you're in harmony with everybody else who's doing the same thing. I put it another way. If we hate something, we're also vibrating to the energy of hate all around the world. Just as much the opposite, when we love and we're positive, we vibrate with those who are thinking positively, loving positively, living that way. We literally create our own heaven and hell, and then, as humans are wont to do, blame the deity or the devil for what we ourselves think and create. We are powerful beyond measure. Marianne Williamson said, our deepest fear is not that we're not powerful, it's that we're powerful beyond measure. And I want to challenge you today to take back your power and reclaim it, your enthusiasm, and enjoy the romance of life to anything you've given your power away to. Have you given it to a person, a resentment, a negativity? Have you given it to a situation or something that's going on in the world or the country? Are you feeling scattered, like pieces of you are everywhere? I don't like this, I like that, this bothers me. That all that is dualistic and it's not holistic and it's not conducive to your emotional health and therefore not conducive to your physical health. I want to talk about healing, wholeness, grace, wonder, beauty. These are things that we should be concentrating on, not just as students of truth, but as individuals who are concerned about the destiny and direction of our lives and our planet. You see, we want an external God to do for us what we're empowered to do for ourselves. We do have that. We claim God do this for us, and then we walk on with our resentments and expect us to keep doing the same thing while God does something different. It's a mirror. Life is always a mirror, and it reflects into it what the thinker thinks into it. You see, your thoughts are so powerful. And I must belabor this just for a moment. Thinking, as a man thinketh, and this was written before the days that we recognize women's rights and so forth. James Allen wrote this small book, As a Man Thinketh. It's a wonderful, small, thin little book. But he said, circumstances don't make a man, they reveal him. Circumstances don't make a woman, they reveal her to herself. You see, we like to think that it's all them out there. And while we would like to see some changes, and we'd like to feel that it's different, we still have to change here. We either have to change how we think about it, or we don't think about it. But one way or the other, we have to adjust ourselves to what is. And the best way to adjust ourselves to what is to forgive it, if need be, forgive ourselves, and make a decision to go forward with enthusiasm, recognizing the great romance of life, which is what Christ Jesus said, Father, I pray that they are all one, even as you and I are one. You see, that's being talked about now, oneness with a capital O. You can hear it in the words of Eckhart Tolle, Wayne Dyer. These people spoke about the fact that we are one great sea of humanity, and we think we're so individual that we're separate from each other and from God. But we're not. We're united by the thoughts we think, whether we like it or not. If you're thinking positively, you're going to meet that. If you're thinking negatively, you're going to meet that. Enthusiasm and the love of God that's inside you determines what you're going to, how you're going to meet it and what you're going to do with it. So if you're enthusiastically negative, you may find that coming back to you more and more. It's the law of sowing and reaping. Galatians speaks about it. As a person sows, that shall they also reap. So do you want to reap a good life? I think we all do. Then you sow the seeds of love, forgiveness, patience. The love chapter in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13 says, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but I don't have love in my heart, I am become a sounding brass cymbal. And I like to add to it, full of sound and fury and signifying nothing. How many times have you seen statues built to critics, to those that were negative, to those that hated? We always love and revere those that bring out the best in us. And as a minister, my goal is to bring out the best in every person who crosses my path. And however I have to do that, I will. I will meet each person where they are, and I will always challenge them to walk a little higher, because I've done it and I've seen the fruitage of it, and it works. We know that negativity and fear and these draining things don't work. But sometimes we feel like if I give them up, I give up a piece of my identity and I want to hold on to that. I was offended. I was hurt. Attention needs to be paid. Well, not necessarily. You see, it always, whether you're in front of a therapist or a counselor or a friend, it is always processed by you. They may give you some great ideas. They may give you thoughts to think about, but ultimately the decision is yours. The power is yours. It's within you. It doesn't exist outside of you. It's your decision. So if you do these things and jettison negative thinking and give up judgments and give up recriminations about self and others and so forth, what happens? Well, they say nature abhors a vacuum. So the pure, the powerful, the beautiful, and the positive come and make room in your mind. Set up rooming in your mind. How could you ask for better than that when all you have to do is make a decision? It costs nothing, but yet it costs dearly. Our cherished judgments, our angers, our upsets, our fears, all that has to go. And I don't know that it can all be done right away, although I've seen some people that have seemed to turn on a dime. They just give it up. They get tired of it. Say, I can't do this anymore. Now, that doesn't mean when you make a decision like that, this can all be perfect. As a matter of fact, if you do this, be prepared for a time for all hell to break loose. It's called the law of reversibility or the tester. It comes to say, are you sure that you want to be this way? Because I'm going to give you, life is going to give you some tests to see if you mean what you say. I did the 7-day mental diet that was written by Emmett Fox. I did the 7-day mental diet in a year and a half. Because you have to stop and start all over again if you have a negative thought. So there were times that if I was doing it right and acting with integrity, I'd have to say, I had that and I got to start all over again. But when the year ended, I realized something about myself. I had far more control and power over my thinking than I ever dreamed. And I learned something. Negative thinking is a luxury. And that was very well put by my friend Peter McWilliams in a wonderful book by the title, You Can't Afford the Luxury of a Negative Thought. Because those luxuries that we think are so good for us are really not. They are costly. They drag us down in time and energy. We want to be a clear conduit for love. Love with a capital L. Not just we love this food, we love that car, we love this. Love with a capital L. It heals, it restores, it upholds, and it affirms. So when I speak of the romance of life, and enjoying those small things—those things that you've had in your mind that meant something to you, that you loved, that were the leavening and the salt of your life—I'm talking about being able to experience those unencumbered by anything that's ever held you back. You remember those, and you say, I'm open to these being replicated. I'm fresh to the moment. I'm new. I'm open. I'm receptive. Nothing that I'm holding on to, I can let it go. It's safe. I can give it up. And it really doesn't matter where you start. You know, some people compare themselves with other people. Well, I've been this way too long. Or my situation is different. You don't understand. This happened to me or that. Happiness is a thought away. And I can tell you right now how it is. You think right now, those of you who love animals, of a dog or a cat looking in your face or being in your arms right now. You can't hurt. You, for that moment, you're taken away. Think of a baby in your arms. Think of any wonderful, pure thing. And you can see there's not room to be thinking negatively. Now, what do you have to do? You just have to think those thoughts enough until you crowd that other stuff out of your mind. It's your decision. It's my decision. The deal is that sometimes negative thinking feels good for the moment. As I've said, it's kind of like biting down on a sore tooth or playing with a hangnail. It hurts so good. But it doesn't work in the long run. So we can end the short-term gain for the longer-term gain. So I challenge you to do this, and I'll tell you how I did it. I took a line notebook paper, draw a line down the middle of the page, and I put things that anger me, slow me, frustrate me, make all these things that would be considered negative. And then I put on the other column things I love, memories that mean something, everything positive. And it was funny how really I didn't expect it, that the positive really did outweigh all this negative stuff. And from that moment, I said to myself, well, that's pretty good. You can do it. Go on. I didn't judge myself for having judged. You see, in the Bible, it says, judge not that you be not judged, for whatever judgment you mete out, that you will receive. And I believe that works every moment. We're always judging something, ourselves or somebody else. Don't. Be as free of that as you possibly can. I'm not talking about everyday life where you need to make decisions and make judgments about where to go, who to go with, those types of things. I'm talking about when you judge and say, life should be different than it is right now, and I'm angry about it, I'm angry at me. It just doesn't work. We've seen theology done that way. I've seen it in fundamentalist churches. You've seen it that way. We've seen people broken by that type of theology that says you were born in sin, conceived in sin, you will pass on that way. You're desperately in need of grace that only we can dispense, and our coffers are at the door. Leave the money. And if there's anything that rouses me, not in a negative way, but I hope in a positive way, I want to get people past the idea that they're somehow broken, inherently sinful, that something needs fixing. You're already perfect. You're God's perfect idea. God only knows perfection about you. He, she, it couldn't know anything else. Because if he, she, it did know something else, then it would not be perfection. So we line up with that perfection and truth principles. Not only that I teach, but Unity's taught for years, Science of Mind, any of the wonderful transcendental thinking schools of thought tell us, reclaim your own godhood. You know, U.S. Anderson in 1954 wrote a book that was almost considered treasonous. It was blasphemous. It was called Three Magic Words. And I read that book because I wanted to know what they were. And so I started with it, and it was a lot of things that were very similar to Unity, a lot of things about affirmative living, thinking, forgiving, a lot of good positive things, many good positive things. And there were meditations at the end of each chapter. And I was thinking about this message, and I thought, do I give away the end of the book? Well, I need to, in order for you to understand, and I think you may want to go revisit it yourself. But here's what Ewell S. Anderson said in 1954 were three magic words. At the very end chapter of the book, he said, you are God. Well, that blew me backwards until I noticed that it was God with a small g. And then I thought at that time, I think he's overstepped it. Until I looked at Scripture and I saw where Christ Jesus had said, have I not said that ye are gods? I thought, well, all Mr. Anderson is doing is extrapolating what Jesus Christ said. You see, we're not disempowered. Christ didn't come to disempower us and call us sinners. I don't remember any time in my reading of the four Gospels that he ever condemned anything except those who were acting hypocritically. He always upheld and wanted new beginnings for those who came across his path. And I think the message of Christianity has been twisted by those who have an agenda. Those who want to keep you under control and doing what they want you to do. I say, think, love boldly, extravagantly. Be willing to take a hit or two for love's sake. You're going to get hurt. Some things are worth being hurt for. It's part of living. It's part part of growing. It's part of learning lessons. You can't grow without a little pain. And some are called on to carry more than others. But in the end, this whole thing is rigged in our favor. We go on to another experience that is promised to be better than what we even have now. I believe in the unanimity and the continuity of life. I don't believe that it starts and it stops and it starts again and it starts. You are a citizen of eternity right now. And you can claim your power and your enthusiasm by a simple change of mind. And I challenge anybody who wants to do that to do it, and then watch what happens in your life. It won't stay the same. Now, everything you want may not come right away, but you've set the wheels in motion. You're creating, promoting, and allowing, and making room for the good things to come in your life. This excites me. This I've lived for 38 years, and I didn't even know it. I didn't know that I was going to teach it. I was still proving it and practicing it in my own life. Now I get the opportunity to share this with you. And to be honest, it's my reason for existing and in a work atmosphere. I don't consider it work. It's a love. It's a passion. And when I see your faces perk up, or you say, I've got that, or I understand that, then I feel like I've done my job well. But remember, I'm just a conduit, and I say what Spirit gives me to say. And I practice it in the weekdays, and hopefully it comes out right on Sunday. If anything today that you take away, realize this: you are loved beyond measure. You are living love, come from God, Himself, Herself, however you call it. You are endowed with the power of choice, and you can take and look at the romance of life through different eyes, fresh eyes, eyes that have wiped away those things that have been collected by you and me that are less than for our highest good. I ask you today, if you have it, release it. Claim the new life and be the new you every day. You can do this. Read the books. Read the daily word. Affirm. Deny. Keep at it. Don't quit. And remember the enthusiasm inside you that makes you want to do this. Your life will change. I promise. I told you I'd never say that for you to do something that I hadn't done. This works. And I give thanks that you all received this message, that I received it, that I act on it, that you act on it, and we are remade whole and new right now. And so it is.